What a great way to start off our service with communion. I love when we have communion on our once a month here at Crossbridge. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Alan Lloyd. I'm a member here at Crossbridge, and I'm just happy and honored to be up here this morning. And I'm glad to see all of your smiling faces. You must have figured out the clocks today. Never fails, somebody will come through that door near the end of service looking very confused. Now, actually, Jamie and I did that one year, and you do it once, you never really want to do it again. But if you think the 1 hour will mess your day up, try 7 hours. Jeff Ackley, Chris Durante, and myself recently got back from a trip from Uganda just a couple weeks ago, and it's a seven-hour time change. But it was an amazing trip. And, you know, before today, we're going to get into Ephesians today and continue our series. Before we do that, though, I just want to show a quick video about our trip, and you can see a little bit of what we did there in Uganda. So let's watch the video first.
Hey, guys, we're here in Uganda, and we're updating you on our 20 hand pump repairs in the Hwima area of Uganda. So we're here repairing this well. This well has been down for 8 months, and over 700 families have been out of water for the past 8 months. That equates to about 4,000 people. So we're here, we're repairing, we're pulling all the pipes up and repairing the pump and putting them back in. So after today, over 700 families will have access to this well with clean water. We'll be doing some more updates with a few more wells that we have to do here in the Hwima area of Uganda. So thank you again so much for the support. We love you guys. Cheers.
I woke up this morning, saw a world full of trouble now. Thought, how'd we ever get so far down? And how's it ever gonna turn around? So I turned my eyes to heaven. I thought, God, why don't you do something? Just couldn't bear the thought of people living in poverty, children sold into slavery. The thought disgusted me, so I shook my fist at heaven. I said, God, why don't you do something? He said, I did. Yeah. I created you.
Now listen.
That's a great video. It kind of summarizes the whole trip there. We obviously went with a group called Wine to Water. I'm sporting their shirt here today. Great organization. I know some people went last fall to the Dominican Republic, and we went, you know, just a few weeks ago to Uganda. And Wine to Water specializes in bringing fresh water to areas of the world where there's a lack of clean, fresh drinking water. And that video, I just love. That was a one well that we worked on, and you heard Josh, who's a Wine to Water person, say that that will serve 700 families. And we, as a team, we fixed over 20 wells on that trip. So it brought fresh water to over 50,000 people in that 1 week that we were there. So it was a great trip, and if you want to go on a trip, I'd encourage you to think about it and pray about it. We actually are planning to go back, and we're looking at the summer of 2017 to go back to Uganda. So if you're interested, come see me. You talk to Jeff as well, and I'm more than happy to talk to you about it. So although we got our hands dirty, and we got very dirty, we helped a lot of people, often what I take from a trip like this is a little more personal. You know, spending 12 days with other people in a foreign country without any of the comforts of home, for sure, and without any of the distractions of day-to-day responsibilities, you tend to become a little more introspective, right? You start to think about your own life a little more. And at the end of the trip, as a group, we sat down and we asked, you know, what are you going to What are you going to take away from this trip? What's going to change when you get home? And my first answer was, I'm going to change my clothes because I stink. And Jeff can agree to that. But my second answer, and probably a better one, was very clear to me. You know, I noticed that the first few days into the trip, and the feeling only got stronger with each passing day, that I knew if I could change this one thing when I got home, my life would be different. My life would be better. My relationship with my wife would be stronger. My time with God would be more intentional. And I could focus on being a blessing to others. The one thing that I wanted to change when I got home was I wanted to slow my life down. Now, I wanted to slow my life down. I wanted to focus on what God wanted me to be doing. And I knew that the only way to do that was to slow down and use my time wisely. Not slow down like quit my job and go live in the mountains, but, you know, like slow my life down in the everyday things. I mean, how much time was I spending each day on my kids' activities or binge watching the latest shows on Netflix or scrolling through Facebook for hours on end? And not that those are bad things. They're not bad things, but how much time was I spending on them? You know, our culture is all about living quickly. We have this super fast-paced, rushed lifestyle. And not only do we live fast, but we view people that are busy with a sense of prestige, and we honor them. You know, in fact, in our culture, we greet people with a sense of busyness, right? We say, are you keeping what? Are you keeping busy, right? And it's a good thing. You know, busy is the new normal. But spending 12 days in Africa, no agenda, no electronics, no meetings, I realized that busyness is a choice. Busyness is a choice. Is it our choice? Yes, I think it is. You know, maybe our boss or our kids' coaches or our spouses might affect our choice, but it's ours to make. And I think that the number one problem that we see in our relationships and in our work lives and in our spiritual lives is managing our time. You know, we don't have the time for our marriages or time for our kids or time for friendships. We definitely don't have time to worry about other people. You know, so I mean, how many of you here are brave enough to admit that your life might be a little too busy? Just raise your hand. How many think your life might be a little too busy? Right? Yeah, we're in this together, aren't we? You know, the impact of our busyness can be seen in a lot of different ways. And for some reason, I love grocery store analogies. I don't know why. But I'm sure you can relate to this. You're in the grocery store, and you've got your stuff. You're going to line, and you see the line of people, and you start running equations in your mind. All right, the number of people in that line times the items in the cart divided by the age of the checker, because you know that makes a big difference, right? Then you pick the line, but you're not calm about it. You're competitive. So you're in the line, you're going through, and you're looking, where would I have been if I picked the other line, right? I know I'm that way. And then, you know, don't get me started on emails. It seems like some days, my whole day is just checking and responding to emails. But busyness can be displayed in less humorous ways, right? Busy people with overpacked schedules can sometimes have a lack of personal depth, right? Which could result in superficial relationships or could result in wounded hearts, which sometimes can all lead to foolish living. And we find ourselves being so busy that we're not honest with ourselves, right? We don't listen to what our heart longs for or the type of person that we really want to be or the type of relationships that we really want to have. And for many of us, I believe our busyness can cover up these longings, these desires. So for those of us in here that battle busyness, and I'm at the top of that list, now here's the tough question for us. In our busy lives, are we living a life that God wants us to live? Are we living a life as a blessing to others. You know, because to be a blessing to others, we first have to think of others, right? To think of others, we have to think of ourselves a little less. But to think of ourselves less, we have to slow down. We are blessed to be a blessing. But to be a blessing, we first need to slow down. So let's explore this a little more. I'd like to turn to Ephesians. We're nearing the end of our series on the book of Ephesians, and today we're going to be in chapter 5. And over the past few weeks, we've heard some remarkable insight on Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Christian and Jimmy covered the first three chapters, and we discovered in those chapters how blessed we truly are. We've been chosen by God, and we are his beloved, made in his image to do good works which he prepared for us in advance for us to do. This keeps the playing field equal, right? Right? Paul reminds us that our works don't earn us more of God's love or the gift of his salvation. That we receive those because God is full of grace and mercy, and he desires us to really know and embrace his unknowable love. And then last week, we heard from Jimmy on how we're all diverse, right? We're all wired with different gifts that God has given us to use in the church and in our community. But since we'll be working with other people, we have to learn to put up with other people, right? Put up with other people in love. And if you missed any one of those messages, please go to the website and listen to them because they are amazing. So today we're going to be exploring chapter 5. We don't have time, obviously, to cover everything, so I encourage you to read the entire chapter on your own. We're going to focus today on verses 15 through 20. So if you have your Bibles or your phones, go ahead and get them out. Navigate your way to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. We'll have it on the screen here as well. And Jeff, thank you for the picture there. That's a picture of Africa when we were on safari in the background there, just so you know. All right, chapter 5, verse 15. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. In the name of our Lord, Jesus Christ. Okay, there's a lot to that passage, so let's unpack it a little. Verse 15, Paul starts by saying, be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Okay, so what does it mean to live a wise life? Well, I think there's a lot to that, and there's no one answer or one correct answer. Reading the Bible, coming to church, being part of a small group, those are all things that will help answer that question. But in my opinion, at the foundation of living a wise life is found in the middle of that verse when Paul says, make the most of every opportunity. In order to do that, our lives can't be one that is rushed or one that is hurried. You know, being busy is not wise living. That's just squeezing more into the already limited time that we have. Our spiritual lives, they can't be rushed. You know, love can't be hurried, or parenting can't just be pushed along. And if what we want in life, if we're real honest with ourselves, can't be obtained through a super fast-paced, rushed lifestyle. Think about when God invaded humanity. Think about when God came down to earth as Jesus and lived with us. What was his lifestyle like? What was his character like? Well, he was chill. He was relaxed, right? That's Jesus. Now, a famous writer, J.B. Phillips, in his book, Your God is Too Small, he says this: if there is one thing which should be quite plain to those who accept the revelation of God in nature and the Bible, it is that Jesus was never in a hurry. Long preparation, careful planning, and slow growth would seem to be leading characteristics of spiritual life. It is refreshing to study the poise and quietness of Christ. his task and responsibility might well have driven a man out of his mind. But he was never in a hurry, never impressed by numbers, never a slave of the clock. He was acting, he said, as he observed God to act, never in a hurry. So what does it mean to live a wise life? Just be relaxed? Just be chill? Well, no, not really. Paul's not saying here, be lazy and just sit on the couch and watch TV all day. Don't worry about anything. No, it's about making the most of every opportunity. And listen to what Paul says next. He continues in the next verse, verse 17, and he says, "Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." Oh, now that's a biggie, isn't it? Understand what the Lord's will is. Now, I don't think Paul is talking about the little things in life like, "Lord, what is your will for me right now? Lord, should I get the whole grain tortilla with black beans or the burrito bowl? Whatever your will is, Lord, I'll just accept it." I don't think that's what Paul's talking about here. If you notice when Paul says, "Do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is," he starts that sentence off with a therefore, right? Which grammatically is building upon something that was previously said, which we already know in verse 15 and 16. "Be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." Right? And what's tough is that, all right, we got that, but Paul starts that sentence off with a "be careful then," which is kind of like a therefore, which is grammatically, again, building upon something that Paul just said before that. So if you go back a few verses in chapter 5 where Paul starts this whole passage off, he says, "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love." Maybe now we're getting a little closer to understanding what the Lord's will is here. But Paul still has another therefore in that sentence. So we go back to the verse he said before that, which is the end of chapter 4. Paul says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." So what is Paul really telling us in verse 17 when he says, "Don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is"? He's saying, be careful, slow down, make the most of every opportunity, live a life of love, be kind and compassionate to one another. Now, to me, that sounds a lot like the greatest commandment, doesn't it? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's a lot to do in a day when you're already super busy, isn't it? And what's interesting is that now Paul gives one example here of what not to do, right? One example of living as unwise versus as living as wise. And in verse 18, he says, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." Okay, so we can have the old drinking talk now, right? So here's my opinion. Drinking alcohol is not a sin. I don't see evidence of that in Scripture. However, Paul is not saying here, don't drink alcohol. He's saying, don't get drunk. And why don't get drunk? Because it leads to debauchery. Other translations say because it can ruin your life or it can cheapen your life. But I like the word debauchery. It means extreme indulgence that results in the loss of control. So is getting drunk a problem? Yes. Why? Because you're no longer in control. And getting drunk is just one example that Paul is using here. When someone is drunk, everyone knows it. But we also can lose control when our time is consumed by less obvious things. Maybe lust, or greed, or anger, or a craving for more things, a preoccupation with our looks, or an overpacked schedule, or just selfishness. And what Paul is saying here, he's saying don't lose control of your life. Everyone with me still? Good. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, here we go, instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is saying here, instead of being foolish, instead of living a crazy nonstop lifestyle, instead of getting caught up in the day-to-day grind, instead of losing control, be filled with the Spirit. Now, I know some of you that might sound a little weird, a little churchy, be filled with the Spirit. But we need to understand the picture Paul is giving us here. Many of us here have experienced when someone drinks too much, they become drunk, right? They become overtaken by alcohol and they change. And Paul commands us here that we are not to be overtaken by this, but instead be taken over by the Spirit of God. Now, for many of us here, this can be confusing, and I completely understand that. Maybe you've seen videos on YouTube of people falling all over the place and, you know, been part of a church where being filled with the Spirit is taken to the extreme and maybe abused. But Paul says here, when he says, be filled with the Holy Spirit, he's saying we should be intentional about spending our time with God. Just like Jesus paused so often to be with his Father, and he lived life through the power of the Holy Spirit, we are to live that way too. But it's too hard when we're constantly on the go. There's no time to stop and fill up on the Spirit. We're relying on the equivalent of five-hour energy shots of God, right? And to me, being filled with the Holy Spirit starts with slowing down, slowing down, slowing down. Opening up your heart to God so you can build relationships, so you can love one another, so you can be thankful to God for everything that you have. So what is blessed to be a blessing? What does that look like? What is to be a blessing, we must slow down? What does that really look like? You know, is there a single mom who needs your encouragement or a child who needs your love? Do you see an elderly woman lonely for a friend or a drowning teenager hungering for a dad? Have you looked into the hearts of those you work with and seen desperation in their lives? Is there an immigrant family struggling to adjust, needing a friend to guide them in a foreign place? Is there a social problem that you might mobilize people to solve? Or do you have in your bank account the money that might go towards people in need like those in Uganda or a homeless man across the river in Chester? Do you have the skills and abilities that others need? Maybe in finance or in medical, in medicine or business or a handyman that can fix a heater? Is there an issue of justice for which you can advocate or a wrong that you can right? Do you ache for the children who die from hunger or for the lack of clean water every single day? So many people are crying out to God for his help. Might you be the one that slows down to see those needs? To be the answer to one of their prayers? To be a blessing? You know, Francis Chan, in his book, Crazy Love, he has one of my favorite quotes. He says, how you live your days is how you will live your years. So let me ask you this. Have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? In our journey together through Ephesians, we've learned that our talents and our skills are God-given. But while our talents and skills are God-given, It's the Holy Spirit who empowers us to really live a life that's a blessing to others. And it's when we're too busy doing that we completely miss when the Holy Spirit is active in our lives. You know, I worry sometimes that we don't connect well with God because we don't recognize him in our everyday life. And we pray, you know, Jesus, take the wheel, but because we're too busy texting. Or we're driving through the fast food, or, you know, kids are changing the back seat to the next uniform for the next game, whatever they have. And we're so busy that we can't respond to what God is trying to do in our lives, especially at that moment. And then we get angry because we don't think God's with us. But we weren't even listening. We're so busy. See, our fast-paced lifestyle not only affects us physically, mentally, but it hugely affects our spiritual journey. You know, ever since we've been back from Africa, I've tried to be very aware of when I'm too busy, when I'm multitasking to the nth degree, or just simply losing control of my day. For me, it's usually at work. So I've implemented the 3-minute rule. So whenever things get a little crazy, sometimes once a day, sometimes multiple times a day, I completely stop what I'm doing for 3 minutes, and I do absolutely nothing. And let me tell you, that is really hard. If you've never tried that, try it. I mean, 3 minutes, it's 3 minutes. But to stop in that busyness, and just stop for 3 minutes, wow. And at the first, I would stop, and for 3 minutes, I would just spend most of my time forcing myself to not do anything. You know, I'm just, all right, nope, I'm not doing anything. But then that turned kind of into thinking, which was good. And then that turned into praying, which was better. And then it turned into listening. And after 3 minutes, wow, I felt better, calmer, more focused, and more in control of what I was doing at that moment. And not only on a personal level, but as a church. You know, I wonder how often we are rushed into decisions and we don't wait on God. Now, even this year, I've watched the elders and the leadership of Crossbridge wait on God. Even though we want to rush through the season and rush through decisions, they've waited. And being filled with the Spirit involves slowing down. And that's where true wisdom comes from. Can you imagine if Crossbridge was known as a place that was filled with people who not only knew they were blessed, but also were a blessing to others? That we as a community slowed down and made the most of every opportunity each day to love one another. How awesome would it be if we were known as a group of people that responded with the love of Christ where we saw a need? I dream of being that kind of church. Because that kind of church will not only change our lives, but it will change the lives of others. So will you join me in praying this morning? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this morning, Lord. Thank you for bringing us together. Thank you for having us have communion together, Lord. Lord, I just pray that you help us see the most of every opportunity in our daily lives, Lord. Lord, help us slow down. It's so hard, Lord. Everything that we have to do in our lives and our kids and our work and our relationships. But Lord, we just pray that you help us take a breath and be filled with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Lord, we love you so much. And right now as we take time to slow down and just worship you and listen to you, Lord, we also give back to you. We give back to you, and not only with our lives and what we do, but also with our money, Lord. And Lord, as the men come forward to collect an offering, we just think about everything you've done for us and how thankful we are for everything you've given us. In Jesus' name.